such beautiful things to us as we just listen to him tonight. So I'm just going to ask you, if you would, let's just stand in agreement tonight. Lord, this word tonight is for me. God, that I might grow into the things that you desire for me. Lord, that your kingdom will be better, God, because you are speaking to my heart. And I can hear you, Lord. I can hear you tonight, Father. Just thank you for that tonight, Lord. Thank you, God. They all said, amen. Would you hand these out for me? See, you just thought you weren't going to have to work. I've got something. Yeah, thank you. Listen, I just encourage you tonight to recognize that you can hear from God. I just feel like tonight there's some just people thinking, hey, you know, I'm just on automatic pilot. You know, I'm just going through the motions. I want to tell you something. Stay faithful. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to make it happen. You stay faithful. And automatic pilot's going to become resting in God. Don't try to make things happen. Tonight, we're going to finish up on 2 Peter, chapter 1. We've been there about 3 weeks. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to read to you 2 Peter out of the Message. It says, I, Simon Peter, am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice he says he's a servant before any title. I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours, all due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, I know y'all are freaking out, but it just needs to happen. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. Listen, now he's telling them, guys, don't put things off. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we've ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been giving, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities, active and growing, he doesn't say perfect. We're never going to be perfect till we get to heaven, but the word perfect means to be maturing and growing. No grass is going to grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wafted off the books. So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice for you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this and you'll have your life on firm footing, the streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's where we're going to pick up the message tonight. And this starts at verse 12. Because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and you practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling to attention before you. This is the post to which I've been assigned, keeping you alert with frequent reminders, and I'm sticking to it as long as I live. I know that I'm soon to go. The Master has made that quite clear to me, and I'm so especially eager that you all have this down in black and white so that after I die, you'll have it for ready reference. You weren't, you know, just wishing on a star when we laid the facts out before you regarding the powerful return of our Master Jesus Christ. We were there for the preview. We saw it with our own eyes. Jesus, resplendent with light from God the Father, as the voice of the majestic glory spoke, "This is my Son, marked by my love. Focus all my delight. We were there on the holy mountain with him. We heard the voice out of heaven with our very own ears. We couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory, God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us, and you'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. The main thing to keep in mind here, this is Peter, remember, he's just going to keep reminding us. The main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private opinion. And why? Because it's something concocted. It's not something concocted in the human heart. Here's your text for tonight. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. I am, you are, we are the body of Christ. His body is not walking among us anymore, but his word is and his spirit is. So who are we? We're the body. And he's using us to speak and to love and to touch. Who can tell me what the word of God is? It's final. It's complete. That means it lacks nothing. And it's non-negotiable. We can count on this. Peter, in the first chapter, is telling us, here comes persecution. We studied Caesar Nero. You know, horrible things are going to happen. And because of all those things, he's getting them ready because he's already heard. The Lord's not going to let us be caught off guard. Anybody in here ever just like, I know something's up. You get those, right? That's the Spirit of God. But in 2 Peter, he's coming in, and now he's trying to get us to get on board. He's saying, hey, my time is limited. I need to keep reminding you of the promises, because the promises are what's going to get you through the persecution. So let me just ask you, if you knew your date to go home to be with Jesus, if you knew it, what are some things you would want to do? Give them all you got. Anybody else? Be ready. Practically, what would you want to do? Yeah? Practically, if I knew that he was coming, you know, my time's coming, practically, I would want to make sure my house is in order. Physically, my house. I would want to make sure that my garage is cleaned out so my kids don't have to do it. Say thank you. Right? I would want to come in and I would want to make sure that my kids weren't going to be burdened with me, that I was taking care of everything that needed to be done so they didn't have to take on something because I left it undone. Practically, that's what I would do. And I've shared with you before that the psychologist came in and talked to us before my mom died, and he's like, hey, when people get ready to die, you need to know. When they know that they're going, sometimes they'll want to tell people off. They feel that they're straightening you out. They feel that, hey, if I'm going, I better tell them the truth, no matter how hard it comes across, right? So Peter's coming in here, and he's not doing it mean. He's doing it full of grace and truth. And he's saying to them, I want you to remember some things. I'm going to keep digging at you. I'm going to keep reminding you of these things because I don't want it to pass from you. Anybody in here, when you raised children, did you only have to tell them one time, clean their room? Because you're going to write a book and make $1 million and tithe to this church. All right? That's just how we're going to roll. No, because we're growing and we're learning. So we're not always getting it. We have to be reminded. We are the children of God. I got to be reminded that he loves me sometimes because the enemy shows me why he doesn't. And I got to be focused more on him. But Peter, guys, he didn't know the exact time, but he knew it was close. See, it was long before had Jesus already said, hey, you're going to die and this is how it's going to happen. It's not going to be pretty. So while we don't know the time and the date, I think there's something in us where the Spirit does prepare us that something's coming. The night before Leah died, we went to Grapevine Mills Mall to pick out a homecoming dress for her. Little did I know how literal that was, because she was buried in that dress. But I remember her saying to me, "Mom, something is wrong. Something is on me, and I cannot shake it." And I was like, "Leah, what? Mom, I don't know what it is. I cannot shake this. It's on me. Something's bad." So we prayed right there in the mall, and then they had these little, you know, massage things. I was like, "Well, here, you just sit over there, and, you know, I'll pray, and we'll do this." And 2 weeks before that, she'd come in and said, "Mom, I want you to promise me I will not be buried in the ground. Dad is not listening to me. He is not taking me seriously." He's like, "Leah." And she's like, "Mom." And she just climbed right up in my lap in that office, and she said, "I want you to promise me I'll not be buried in the ground. I'm scared of bugs." I said, "Done deal." "Yeah, done deal." And the girls at school told me that, and she had told us, "I'm never going to have children. Mom, I'm never going to have children." And she had a pretend child in college called Timmy. And she would say to the girls, "Hey, I'm taking Timmy to the park today because I'm never going to have kids. Let's all go to the park." And so they'd go to the park and they'd swing Timmy and let's take Timmy for ice cream. And it was like a joke. And they had like these little t-shirts about Timmy because she had told them. Now listen, I believe the Holy Spirit prepares us for things in advance. I could have never put that together. So what I'm telling you is, while the Holy Spirit tells us things, don't jump to a conclusion. And then tomorrow, if somebody says to you, you know, Deja's like, "I'm never going to have kids," you just don't go, "We're going to go, Deja, that's a lie from the devil. You're going to have children." No, just kidding. She's just all freaked out now. But yeah. So I don't need a date. But what I do need is to hear the Holy Spirit, because he prepares us for things. So while he's prepared us for the persecution, and now he's helping us focus on the word. So what I want you to do now, we're going to dissect this down just a little bit. And here's the thing. Steve has this little saying. He's like, "Stretch people, but don't pop them." You can stretch, but don't pop. You know what that's from in the Bible? The wineskins, you know, the old and the new wineskins. And there's a thing where you can give people the truth, but you know when you've gone too far. As a parent, you can give your kids correction, but there's a place where I'll tell them, you know, after a while, you're just drilling it, okay? And that's my little thing between Steve and I. I'd say, "Listen," you know, and he'd say, "I know there's stretching and there's popping." And I was like, "We just can't keep drill." You know, there's a place where you're implementing life. And after that, sometimes when you just keep digging at something, you're doing more harm than good. But I see here where Peter, his intent is not to drill them, because he does not come in with guilt, shame, and condemnation. He comes in with the reminder that, hey, you've got this word. We've not just seen him. Don't just take my testimony. And he's going to go back and refer to Old Testament. But not only that, he's saying, "I'm giving you something in black and white. I've got a letter for you." Now, the truth is, he could not have comprehended that today you and I have access to 2 Peter on our phones. Daryl's got it on watch. I mean, come, you know, Dick Tracy, hello, come in. You know, it's here. He could never have imagined that. I'm telling you tonight, when you speak the word of God into people's life, when you write them letters of encouragement, you have no idea how that's going to carry forward in the future. But when we are speaking and giving the word of God, it's never going to return void. So in verse 12 through 15, I want you to notice this. He references back to the Old Testament. And you're going to need to follow this, okay, because you're going to need a little bit of this information and as we go along. 3 points tonight. In verses 13 and 14, Peter references that his body is a tabernacle. That's an Old Testament, okay? He also references in using the word in the King James to decease, okay? I'm going to be deceased. That word for deceased and die is actually the same word for Exodus. So it'd be like him saying, you know, my body's a tabernacle and I'm fixing to go into my Exodus. That's what they're hearing. because he's referencing back to the Old Testament, to the time in Israel, a time that he read about. He heard the scriptures read. He didn't live it. But he's now showing them, look, this is what I know, but I want you to understand, I'm going to the promised land because I believe. So he's bringing them. But in Zechariah 12, the word is saying, hey, there's not going to be any more Feast of Tabernacles. We're celebrating, you know, we celebrate Purim here at Christian Center. We celebrate, you know, the Seder times. We're celebrating those. You don't celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jewish community does not, because Zechariah 12 tells us that's not going to be reestablished until the kingdom of God is reestablished on earth. Jesus comes, okay? But here he is referencing it. Well, it's important because Peter's showing them that by example, go ahead and reference what you know, yes, but I'm going to give you something new. This is a letter, guys. He's not standing up in front of them reading it. This is a written letter. Now, while I believe that Mark, and we studied this when we studied Mark, I believe that Mark is giving Peter's account, but it's written with his softness. But we know for a certain fact that 1 Peter and 2 Peter were definitely from him, because we just read, I, Peter, the servant of the Lord and the apostle of Jesus Christ, not noticing himself first as a title, but I'm a servant. And that's why we wait on the Lord, like a waiter or a waitress. Lord, until this answer comes, I'm just going to keep serving, right? So he comes and he tells them, this is going to be in black and white. You're going to have this letter. This is my first point. Men die, but the Lord lives on. Anybody that people look back to, think about other religions, anybody that people look back to and they're trying to make that person still something important in life today, Jesus has got to be the one, okay? It can't be Joseph Smith. It can't be Mother Teresa. It can't be D.L. Moody. It can't be any of the fathers of the faith. Men are going to die, but the Lord is going to live forever. And we need to settle that, because some people want to make their impression when we should be making his impression. John 1:1 says, in the beginning, God already existed. In the beginning, he already existed. And John 1:14 says that the Word became flesh. That's full of grace and full of unfailing love. And some versions are going to say full of the truth and faithfulness. Life may seem like a test, but what's the Word for us? An open book test. So that's what he's telling you. You're going to have trouble, but you've got an open book. You've got an answer for everything that's going to come. And not just because it's in black and white, but because we've already established we are able to hear and be prepared for things. Most of you know Melanie Henry. Well, Melanie lived right outside of Edmond, Oklahoma, out of Oklahoma City in Edmond, where we lived. And that morning, Melanie's husband, Ken's a lawyer in downtown Oklahoma City. And he worked in the Murr building. Remember that getting bombed? And that morning, he had gotten ready to leave. And he'd gone halfway to work. And he thought, man, I left those papers. You know what? I'm going to go back and get them. He went back and got the papers and walked in the door. And Melanie said, all the way in Edmond, their window shook from that explosion. And her husband would have been in that building. Listen, you've heard those same stories from 9/11 and other places, and we're going to get to this in a minute, but the point is, not just do I have the word, but I've got the word to hear for me today, to say to me. It becomes alive. It's not just do this as a ritual, but it becomes personal. And remember, the word is not just personal, but it's intimate. Here's the difference between personal and intimate. Steve and I got married. That was personal. We kissed. We said, till death do us part. He went to Oklahoma. I went to Arkansas. No. It became personal. It became more than just an agreement. It became intimate. You with me? The two shall become one. Why are we called the bride of Christ? because the two is going to become one. Do you remember from Revelation what he's trying to accomplish still in this earth? Why time hasn't ended? Because he's still trying to wake up the world to the fact that they need a Savior. He's trying to shake up Israel and get them to understand that he, the Messiah, has already come, and that's going to happen when they turn to the Antichrist. And he's trying to make up his bride. He still wants that bride to be complete. He don't want anybody to be lost. That's not his plan. But the world's telling you that's his plan. That's why you've got to know the Word. Life may seem like a test, but ours is an open book test. And like Steve said Sunday, don't focus on your circumstances. That's what the world's doing with its news. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what he said. Now, we're going to look at verses 16 through 18. So here, Peter's telling them, hey, we actually saw this. We saw Jesus. He was glowing. He was transcendent with light. And we actually heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son. Do you remember what event was happening there? The transfiguration. He's getting ready, right? He's seeing this. And so what happens is, and we know this from like Mark 9:5, and I think it's Luke 3. He comes in and he says, all of a sudden, they're not even paying attention. It's Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John in the sailboat. You know that one? Yeah. So those are the three. They're with him, and they're really not paying attention. I don't know if they're sleepy. I don't know if they're busy doing something, listening with spiritual ears. But all of a sudden, Peter looks up and he's stunned because there's Moses and Elijah with Jesus, and they're all just glowing, and he can see them. And he's really freaked out by this, so he's telling them this story. And he says, you know, oh, man, you know, he just blurts out and interrupts their conversation, because he wasn't paying attention to what the Spirit was saying. He was in the flesh, and he's just like, oh, hey, Jesus, rabbi, teacher. He says, hey, how about me just now let me build three tabernacles, which are just like lean-tos. Some of them could be a tent. But he says, let me just build one for Moses and Elijah and you. Now, what's he saying? Remember Zechariah 12? Because he's not in the Spirit. He didn't listen to what they were saying. He didn't tune in. He just interrupts and says, hey, let's do this. I got a great idea. He meant well. Have you ever meant well with a great idea, but it wasn't God? Yeah, me too. And so when he does that, immediately this cloud comes in. And all of a sudden, the voice of God comes and says, this is my Son. Listen to him. This is my beloved. You listen to him. Because he wasn't listening. And so when the cloud lifts, it's over. Moses and Elijah are gone. Now, Jesus didn't reprimand him and say, man, I missed out on time with Dad. He didn't say that. But what I want you to understand from this portion is that experiences can fade, but the Word is going to last and endure. He's no longer talking about, man, I saw this beautiful thing that happened, and oh, the glory, and let's go back, and I want all of you to go out to mountains, because they were on, I think it was Mount Hebron. Let's go to Hebron, and you go to the mountain closest to you, and we're going to have camp meetings on these mountains every year and wait for it. Because that was my experience. You can't camp in your experience. You've got to go with the Word of God, because the experiences will fade. Where's the laughter movement today? Where's your teeth being filled with gold today? And I'm not saying any of those things didn't happen. I'm just saying, where's that experience? Because we can't bank on personal experiences. I can look back and see God's faithfulness, but I'm still not fasting 3 days every month because that's what I did after Leah died. Are you with me? And how do I know this isn't true? Let's just take the children of Israel, which Peter knew about. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw food on their lawn every morning. Their shoes didn't wear out. But why couldn't they cross over? Because they didn't believe. They did not believe. And they had a cloud of fire by day, by night, and a pillar cloud during the day, and the fire at night to follow. And we're like, man, if I had that, no, you wouldn't. Because you got, you know, ABC and Fox News and CNN, and all I'm trying to divide your attention and your love, and the whole purpose of Christianity is to unite us under Him, not my opinions. In our vernacular, it would be like he said this, dude, learn from my mistake. Don't worship and miss out in the moment. And he was trying to figure out, go back to Zechariah 12 now, he was trying to figure out and say, hey, let's just skip you establishing your kingdom on earth, because Jesus had already told him how it was going to happen. It's not going to be pretty, but you don't want to hear that, do you? But it wasn't pretty for anybody. So he says, hey, let's just establish these tabernacles now. Let's go ahead and have the feast now. Let's reestablish it so we can be done. There's a word for us here. Remember God's faithfulness from your experiences? Yes. But don't box God and limit him to what he did then when he may want it to happen differently now. Let me give you an example. Anybody in here ever got a check in the mail that you weren't expecting? Anybody in here ever had somebody do something for you that really you couldn't have done for yourself? But are you counting on that today? See, we're moving on. Let me ask you this for those of you who are married. Did you ever, when you're mad at your spouse, did you ever go, oh man, we had the best wedding? Oh, I remember that wonderful Christmas present. Or remember that time they did the laundry? No, you don't draw from your experience. You draw from where you are today. Now you may say, oh, they need to remember that great gesture. Right? What I did, but you forget, and you're not remembering. You don't have the experience to say, there was that good time, there'll be good times again, because we get carried away by our flesh and our emotions, and that's what Peter's telling them. Guys, you got to stay focused on Jesus, or else you're going to miss out on this. It was the unbelief of the Israelites that kept them from the promised land, and Peter now knows he's going to the promised land. He's letting them know. I got a tabernacle, but it's just a body that's going to go. And when I exodus, I am going into the promised land because I believe, and I don't want you to forget what I'm telling you, because you're going to have something I didn't have. You're going to have a written encouragement. You're going to have experiences, but the word of God is going to outlast your experiences. And then verse 19 through 21, he's coming and he's like, there is no doubt that we saw God. There's no doubt that we saw his glory. There is no doubt that I heard his voice. But I want to tell you something. He comes in and he says, this world is getting darker. But when the world gets darker, the light will get brighter. The word dark actually means murky. You know, you ever go in a lake? You're just going to swim in a lake because it's like cool. And when you see the water and the swells, it's like greeny brown looking. It's not clear like, you know, some pristine Caribbean island, right? But boy, you're going to get in it, aren't you? Because you want to go to the lake. But some people say, ooh, that water's really murky, or that water's turning over. In California, when our water would turn over, the lakes would turn over, your water would look brown. It was gross. But oh, they'd assure you it was okay. Keep drinking it. You know, and we're all calling Ozarka to come out. But here you go. He's letting you know that at this point the world is becoming murky. Holland has this little phrase in one of her songs, and she says, there's black and there's white, but gray makes a mess. Because you can't discern what's what. One is full of color and one is void of color. But we need to stay focused on the light, because the light brings the truth. We know in Proverbs 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Why do I need a lamp to guide my feet when I have eyes? Because as a believer, I'm not supposed to be living by what I see, but I'm living by the light that shows me go this way, like Ken Henry when he said, those papers aren't important. I'll just keep going. Because he didn't know what was ahead of him. Or to say, I just feel like I need to go back and get those papers. I'm not sure if I need them today or not, but hey, I'm going to go back and get them. How about my niece Tanya, who's in the World Trade Center, who's working for Lehman? And she's in the World Trade Center, and she's got to go from Tower 1 to Tower 2. And something just said to her, take your purse. And she's never taken them between buildings for the meeting. But she grabs her purse and her cell phone and her notebook and her pen and goes out. And on her way down is when it hits. And now she's out in the street with her purse and her phone that she would not have had. And she's calling my mom on the phone as she watches someone get severed by a stop sign, falling out of the building. And she says to her, Granny, something horrible has happened. Pray for me right now. See, her experiences led her to my mother. Peter's saying, you didn't have a cell phone back then. You may not have a cell phone later. Know the word of God and speak it over yourself. Not because of what you see, but because of where the light is taking you. My sight, motivated living, is going to cause me to stumble. Oh, they should have loved me. They didn't love me. I did everything right. No, you didn't. Because you can't do everything right. And God knows it. That's why he made a way of escape for us from having to do that. But people and the enemy's going to tell you, you have to do it right before you can be loved. And he's saying, I already did it right for you. Flow in that love and let that be a light to your path. God said, let there be light. The word says, and when he spoke it into existence. So let's reread our text now. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. Do we have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Did somebody mess up your brain and tell you it doesn't come unless you speak in tongues? Because I want to tell you, I speak in tongues and I need that. But the body says that that is not going to edify this church if I stand up and just blah, la 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 la. But there's times in my personal prayer closet where I need to do it. There's times walking down the hall, I don't even know I'm doing it sometimes. Right? Because I'm just, Lord, yes, God, yes. But we have the Holy Spirit within us because Jesus died, and when he gave up his spirit, we now have that spirit alive and working in us. We can hear God. And people who are worried about their relationship with God and who've been raised and steeped in the thing that says you're never good enough, you're never going to attain. There's some truth in that. I'm never going to attain perfection. But I can have what he says I can have. And he said I can have the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to have it and I'm going to hear it. And so will you. But when we come in here and the prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word, I want to ask you tonight, what are you speaking? What are you speaking? Are you speaking that God can help you? Are you speaking that, Lord, you can cause me to overcome even though I'm weak in my flesh about this? Are you speaking life into somebody that you don't love? Because you need to back up and love them. Because the word won't be effective without love. And can I ask you something else? What prompts you today? What's prompting you to speak and say the things you say? Because he said it was the Holy Spirit that was prompting him. And I'm just going to close with this tonight. These are just some motivational reminders for me. And I just thought I'd share them with you. Because sometimes I'd rather make the mess and share you how to not make a mess and tell you the truth about the mess I made so you don't make it. So here's some little motivational reminders. And I put little sticky notes all on this because when you want to remember something, you mark it down. It's proven that for humans, it's not just do you hear it, do you write it, and do you say it? Steve's mom, with a neurologist, had told her, as you get older, and she's 91 now, after she had a stroke, this is what he told her, in therapy, you need now to write notes. And you don't just write a note, but you say it out loud. If you're going to lock the door, and you're not going to write that down on a piece of paper, as you're walking to the door, you say out loud, I'm going to lock this door. See, we've been made fun of for talking out loud, but man, once I heard the neurologist, I just like, I don't care. And so I'll hear sometimes, I'm going to lock the door, and I'll say, thank you, security guard, and we just make a joke of it. But he told her that because you will remember what you say. And you will remember, yes, what other people say. You remember what your teacher said, but the teachers also tested you on it and said, write it. Open book test. There's no reason for a wrong answer with him. And even at that, when you don't understand something and you're seeking the Lord, I remember one time I was seeking the Lord on, God, I just want to get this right. You know, I felt all this pressure to do it right because, you know, we worked at the school and everybody had the right answers from God and they knew how to do everything right. And I was so unsure. And I remember reading that scripture. It says, lay on your left side and prophesy and lay on your right. So I'd lay on my left side and I didn't feel anything, but it was in the Word of God. And I remember rolling over. Okay, I'll lay on my... Do you think Kevin was laughing at me? He was like, you know what? Look, she's so cute. She just wants to do it right. And she has no idea that she could fluff up two pillows and just go to sleep right now. But you know what? In about 20 years, she's going to get it. And what I heard in my mind was, there's hope for you. I know you're trying to please me. I'd be like, oh, did I do it just right? Because it's got to be holy. That's why people today at Easter in other countries are taking somebody and beating them and making them carry a cross to reenact. I don't need to reenact. I need to act on the Word of God. First thing, the Holy Spirit does not need me to set people straight. He's called me to set people free. Anybody in here enjoy being set straight by a Christian? Please raise your hand. Because you know the difference between you're being set straight and set free. John 8:32 says you're going to know the truth and the truth is going to set you free. And can I just tell you this little scripture and this little flower in Proverbs says the wise say very little and those with understanding stay calm. When Meryl Streep was going to be in The Devil Wears Prada, they asked her, how did you play that part so well? You know what she said? I went to the character in the movies that I thought really had my full attention, and I came up with Dirty Harry. And so I called Clint Eastwood, and I said, what did you do to demand that presence on the screen? And he said, I talked in a low voice, and I never raised my voice above a whisper. And she said, I realized then that you have just as much power when you speak in a calm voice, because people hear you, than you do when you're yelling and demanding it. There's a word there. The second thing is you need to take the pressure off to make my point. If there's anybody in your life that's going to make a point with you, and you dread being around them because you know they're fixing to make a point, why do you dread that and then feel that you have to make a point? It's because that's our flesh. We just want to be, hey, here's Peter. Hey, let's just make tabernacles. Let's bypass this. Let's just do this. All we need to do is just point people to Jesus. Pressure to make someone get it isn't the Holy Spirit led. It's a check in my spirit to show me that I have fear and unbelief. Because if I have to make my point, I don't really believe what I'm saying. Because when I'm sure I'm right, I don't have to be right. I can walk away from an argument. when I see it's turning into something that would not please God. I don't have to be right. And there's a lot of people that have to be right, and they're losing out on love and fellowship, not just with one another, but with the Lord. And the third thing tonight is that we all need to be hopeful, not to be fixed before we have hope. Otherwise, none of us could be saved. People need hope. People need hope. And so I don't have to fix anybody in here. Can I just tell you, whether it's my children, it's my church family, it's my realm of friends that I have that I've made through the years, it breaks my heart that I can't fix people. But I've learned I can't make that happen. That's up to Him. But what He wants us to do is keep speaking the word prompted by the Holy Spirit. And in this room, can I get a witness in here that it's effective when you keep speaking life over people, that it is more effective than setting them straight or making your point or fixing them? It is, because that's how I feel. That's how you feel. I need somebody to give me hope. I already know that I'm worthless. But I know with Him, it doesn't matter what you see or what I say. It matters what light I'm following, because He's going to make it clear for me. And we're going to close out 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to move to chapter 2 next. But listen, I want you to know you can hear the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us to lead others to Christ. But we're going to come to Him too. There's too many Christians that want to be martyrs and lead other people to the Lord, and they think they're going to hell. I want to tell you something. We're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. I was in Walmart today, and this little lady who's my cashier, I just knew she was a Christian. Her name was Deborah. So just to check out the religious thing, I said, "Is your name Deborah or Deborah?" And she went, that was all she needed. And she said, "Deborah, are you believing Jesus?" I said, "Girl, I love Him." And she said, "Oh, that's wonderful." And so I stuck up my hand and said, "Deborah, it's nice to meet you." I said, "Now we're going to know each other when we get to heaven, because we're going to be sisters forever up there." And she's like, "Woo, I felt the Holy Spirit." And I was like, "Yes." Listen, the encouraging word. I got somebody in Walmart who's standing there representing Jesus, and no matter how many hate-filled, angry people come through her line, her light is greater than their darkness. Now I'm going to ask you, is my light going to be greater than the darkness? Because I want to tell you, if all you can do is just say, "Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus," close the door, close the door, close the door. I'm going to remember He's faithful. God, He loves me. He is faithful. Because His word says, Peter said, it is grace and truth. Truth without grace can be the biggest bat. Did you ever get a truth bat hit against your head? Yeah. We have to have grace with it. And not grace to excuse it. And not grace to keep the wrong thing going. But grace so they can hear what's wrong. You with me? And want to do right. That's the light. Amen? Stand with me tonight. Listen, I don't know my date, and I don't get everything right. But I'm grateful for Peter, and I am grateful that he came in. He said, "Remember, remember." I'm going to keep drilling this till you get it, kids. I'm grateful because I got that letter. You've got that letter. And I'm going to keep drilling this in you till we get it. Take the pressure off you to make things happen. And start trusting God's word to go before you and open the door. Now, I don't know where Shannon went, and I don't know who else is in here. But I want to tell you tonight, I really think that there's some of you, and you just really are like going, "I'm doing the right things, but I'm getting a little bit weary. Doing the right things, but I'm just getting weary." You just hold fast, because you just proved that you are going to walk in his faithfulness and not yours. And God is not going to let you sink. God is not going to let you sink. But he's the door, and he's going to open the way for you. We're going to trust the Lord tonight. Amen. Father, tonight we just thank you for your word, God. I thank you, Lord. God, help me with that angst that comes on me to make things happen. Help me, God, so that I can lead, God, with your light and not with some false flashlight of guilt or not with some false thing, God, that's just going to lead people into a ditch. I need you to show me where I'm going before I can help anybody else. God, we want the world to be saved. There's nobody I want to go to hell. God, let me love the way you love me. Help me, God. And I just thank you tonight, Lord, that you're going to speak to your people because we can hear you. And I'll thank you right now in advance because your love and your light is going to soften. Some you're just worried. You just feel like you're just a buzzsaw and you just got all these spikes coming off you. I want to tell you, God's going to soften that. I just hear him encouraging you. My word is having effect. I'm taking care of those rough edges. The thing that you're worried about, it's going to be soft and tender because that's what you really want. You got a rough edge because you're trying to protect yourself. Drop your pretense and let me lead you. We just thank you for that tonight, Father. We give you praise tonight, Lord. God, you're good and we love you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now we're going to go through here. And we're going to go and we're going to have a fellowship. And we've got a s'mores bar set up for you. And we've got pizza and we've got bean and cheese burritos. And we're just going to have a good time because Leah Evans is going to have a birthday. So this is a non-present birthday fellowship. Okay? But I don't get to be with them much. So we just let them rest tonight. And I would ask you to let the Evans family eat first. Okay? They got to go get kids. So don't stop them and talk to them. Come to the fellowship. Okay? We're going to have cupcakes. It's going to be great. Who's with me? All right. I heard that. Thank you for the joy. Love you guys.